This is Vatican Radio. I'm Linda Bordoni. In the throes of a deep political, economic and cultural crisis, Italy received a welcome boost last week when its entry for Best Foreign Film was awarded the coveted Oscar film recognition. Starring Tony Servillo in the role of the protagonist, Jep Gambardella, and directed by Paolo Sorrentino, La Grande Bellezza, The Great Beauty, is a beautiful and disturbing film. A feast for the eyes as the eternal beauty of the city of Rome, bathed in the glow of its special light, is pitted against the empty hedonism of wealthy socialites as they follow the beat of endless parties in a daze of self-indulgence and vulgarity. I spoke to Father Peter Malone, a film critic for Cygnus, the World Catholic Association for Communication, and I asked him what he thought of the film.
Well, I saw it in England last year, and I knew that it had been a success in Cannes. I knew it was La Grande Bellezza, but I hadn't realised The Great Beauty, and I'd gone to see something else, and afterwards there was time to see La Grande Bellezza. But I was so overwhelmed by it that it was delayed in release here, so it only started in January, so off I went again.
La Grande Bellezza, yes, The Great Beauty. As you say in the beginning of your review, almost everyone has made an association with Fellini's The Good Life.
I hadn't read any reviews when I saw it the first time, so I was sitting there very pleased with myself, thinking Fellini. Then every review and every blogging note all mentioned Fellini. So I was on the right track, but I thought I'd been a bit original, but I wasn't.
Let's tell listeners what The Great Beauty refers to. The Great Beauty of Rome, or is it the truth of beauty and what beauty can give?
I think it was both. At times there was reference to Rome itself and a whole lot of aspects of Rome. Do you remember when they went to see all those statues? I think there was a mention of the great beauty. But ultimately, I think with that central character, he was searching for whatever was the great beauty in his life, in people, in Rome, and a kind of regret, I thought, that he'd wasted a lot of time on peripheral beauties, when really, when he remembered back to his own youth and the girl that he loved, and just being in Rome, the whole Italian beauty, I thought that really was the meaning as it ended. And I went across in the metro last Sunday morning between Lepanto and whatever the next station is. And as we were going across the Tiber, immediately I thought of that final scene in The Great Beauty as they were sailing along the Tiber.
Gli sparuti in costante sprazzi di bellezza. E poi lo squallore disgraziato e l'uomo miserabile.
So, yes, I was really impressed by it.
Rome is so beautiful, it's almost heartbreaking because the film also pits this incredible beauty against the empty hedonism of the Rome upper classes and the whole moral decadence of Roman society, especially since the Berlusconi era. There's a very poignant scene, I think, when Jep, who is the protagonist, goes to Tuscany and looks at that capsized cruise ship that is still lying on its side in the water. And to me, that seemed like a symbol of not only of Rome, but maybe of Europe that needs to be straightened up and needs to find its flotation again.
It is a very strong symbol in real life, isn't it? That, the kind of dolce vita attitude of the captain in his declaration of what he did or didn't do. And actually seeing the film again, I was surprised how long that initial party was. The first time I didn't notice that, but you're right. The the decline and the decadence and the hedonism that was there in Jep's birthday party, and singing and dancing while the ship's going down.
Exactly. I remember at one point Jep, the protagonist, says, we're all on the brink of despair. You know, all we can do is keep each other company and joke a little. But there's such a heartbreaking despair in that.
It was interesting that on the surface he was, you know, very hedonistic and decadent and self-indulgent. But somewhere there in his heart, there were qualities that, you know, could be redeemed. And perhaps towards the end, he saw some possibilities. And I suppose the same with the audience, that having gone through, because it's 2 hours, 20 minutes, it's a long film, having gone through all of that, and then more images of hope towards the end.
There's also one of the characters, one of the peripheral characters, shall we say, is a cardinal to whom the protagonist turns for some kind of spiritual guidance, some kind of spiritual message, but he really doesn't get one, does he?
No, and kind of saying the cardinal may not have had any answers to his questions about the meaning of life, turning things to how you cook a rabbit and all those culinary delights that he indulged in. I'm sure if the cardinal was going to meet Pope Francis, he'd be welcomed as a person, but I think there would be some suggestions that he might have a better ministry and more relating to the poor and those in need rather than being a gourmet par excellence.
Peter, my question is, you know, this film is very poignant for people who know Rome because we know the atmosphere here so well. But is it equally meaningful, do you think, to others?
I think a lot of our reviewers here didn't like it. They weren't on the wavelength. In fact, some of them left. And I was quite surprised because I told them that I'd seen it and wanted to see it again. So I think there's a certain particularity in style, which is particularly Roman, as in La Dolce Vita, and even the religious dimensions and the story of the saint at the end. A lot of cultures, I think, can observe it, but I don't think they quite empathise with it.
Beauty is a universal theme, though. I mean, it can set you on a journey of longing and desire, and it never really satisfies you at the end. Surely that's a very universal theme.
It is, but it's the style. I'd be thinking, if I saw something similar from one of the countries of Eastern Europe, given their background in the communist era and their sense of liberation, I'm not sure that I would feel that so well. I saw, did you ever see Field of Dreams long ago?
No, I didn't, Peter. Tell me about it.
Well, it was the Kevin Costner baseball film that they were going to build this stadium, and the famous line, if you build it, they will come, the people will come. I saw it in New York amidst a whole lot of enthusiastic Americans, and because I really don't know baseball, it actually was passing me by. I could see that people were enjoying it, but I couldn't have that same experience. I didn't share it. I could observe it. And I think for some people here in Australia, that was the reaction to The Great Beauty.
Why do you think it won an Oscar?
I think that Paolo Sorrentino has a very good reputation, and so he's a director that people would give attention to. I noticed with some of the awards this year, they tended towards the light and the entertaining, especially, say, with the documentaries, rather than, say, going with that awful indictment of the Indonesian killers in the 1960s, Act of Killing, which might well have won, but I think it was too tough and too grim. And so some of the other nominees for Best Foreign Language Film, say, from Palestine, or the excellent one, which I was most impressed by, The Hunt from Denmark, I think they might have been happy to have the combination of the serious, the exotic, the funny.
So would you advise viewers to go and watch The Great Beauty?
I would, but with that proviso that if it doesn't draw them in, they shouldn't be disappointed, because it's very much an Italian experience which insiders and Romans will just appreciate, you know, to the fingertips. And if they can draw on that, and I'm afraid, you know, I spent years in Rome as a student, so again, I was on that particular wavelength and enjoyed it.
Peter, at the end of your review, you say Jepp has been asked about his search for the great beauty. He seems to be coming close to the end of his quest.
I think it was a kind of acknowledgement when he sailed near where he'd met that young woman and he hadn't followed through and there was great regret. But in many senses, she symbolized the greatest of beauty for him and the regret that he hadn't reached out to that beauty then. But coming to terms with it, you know, 40-plus years later, then at least is in his interior life, he was coming to some core, at least an acknowledgement of the truth about beauty and about himself. On the stage, when Sorrentino got the Oscar, the actor was actually standing there and beaming. He was absolutely overjoyed just standing there on that stage when the film won the Oscar. So I was really pleased for Tony Sevillo. He looked so happy.
Yes, and let's just say how good he was.
Yes. I remember him when he was Andreotti in Il Divo.
Right, he's a wonderful actor. I'll tell you something else. I think Italy really needed this Oscar in this very difficult moment of its political and social history.
I hope it's a boost in that way, and I suppose it's a vote of confidence in some way in an Italian filmmaker that out of the culture, whatever the difficulties at the moment, he was able to actually tell this story on a very grand scale.
Ma questa è una grande notizia, certo.